All right, tonight I would like to complete the topical method of Bible study. This is a little bit taxing to your brain, and after doing it last night in Plymouth, I realized I probably should have had a handout for folks. I don't know that you can grasp everything that I'm trying to get to. If you're not taking notes, I don't know what you can possibly learn from this. Hopefully it might mean something to you. The topical method of Bible study is simply a topic you would like to study. The topic that we are looking to as an example here is the faithful man. That's the topic. You can study it through the Word of God. I'm showing you the method to use to make that study. Now, there may be many things that you might like to study and see what God says about a particular topic. For instance, I have a friend. He's in a church. He's wondering about what some of the women are doing in the church as far as speaking and such. And so it would be good for him, he's in another state, but it would be good for him to study the role of women in the church. You might specialize in that in the New Testament. So you take a topic, and the topic might be the role of the woman in the local church. And then you study and find out all the passages of Scripture that deal with women in the local church, women in the Bible, see what God says about it. You might be a deacon, and it might be good for you to do a study on what the role of a deacon is. There could be any number of things that suddenly you could have a question in your mind, say, I'll do a topical method of Bible study. We are using as an example the faithful man. And so there are six steps to make the faithful man mean something to you, come to life for you. Step one is you compile a list of words. In a certain area of study, you might want to get synonyms and antonyms. This is review from the last time, so I'm not going to spend much time on it. In particular, in the faithful man, you'll find out that as you go through the Word of God, there are plenty of references to the faithful man. You don't have to look for synonyms. You don't have to look for antonyms to it. All right. First, you get the words you're going to use, faithful man. Then step two is you collect all the Bible references. You do that with a concordance or with a NAVES. You get all the references in the Bible. And, if you start with the NAVES or the concordance, you're going to find they're going to start from Genesis and go right on through Revelation. And you'll be able to see all of them. Collect all the Bible references. And then, once you've collected all the Bible references, the next thing you do is you take each one of those references individually and you make a notation. You summarize the meaning. Now, again, on the page, here is how you could set your page up. You set your page up on the left side. You've got all the references down the left side in a small column. In a column next to that, you put cross references. And then on the other half of the page, you have observations and insights. And across from your reference, you put down, for instance, I have Numbers 12:7. Your observation and insight is Moses was called faithful by God. That's a summary. Then you go to the next one, 1 Samuel 2:25. It was prophesied that Samuel would be a faithful man. You write that down. So as you look at your sheet of paper or sheets of paper that you are working through this topical method of Bible study, you will see whether you are hitting the same subjects over and over again or if there are variations. That will give you cross references. So, for instance, here's how you do a cross reference. You've listed down Nehemiah 7:2. Nehemiah 7:2, in your summary statement, you put Hanani was called a faithful man by Nehemiah. And a faithful man is given a leadership role. So, as you're studying along, the next thing you know, you come to Matthew 24:45, and there you see exactly the same concept again, that a faithful man is given leadership roles. And so you put that in your cross-reference. That will be next to Nehemiah 7:2, will be Matthew 24:45. That's what we mean by cross-references. In other words, it is a verse saying just about the same thing, the same concept, or the same principle. All right, so you have cross-references. Step three, and that's what step four is all about, is compare, and then you compare and you group the references so that you have all the references together that have the same meaning. In other words, every time you saw a verse in Scripture that said to you that a faithful man is given leadership roles, you put all those together in a group. They're all listed in a group. Another group might be faithful men are few in number and are hard to find. I have Psalm 12:1 that says that, Proverbs 20, verse 6, Philippians 2, 19 and 20. You put all of that into a group. That is step four. So you are grouping all the verses that have similar principles. Then, step five is you condense your study into an outline. Now, here's where it takes a little bit more work. Condense your study into an outline. What you want to do then is you want to get the main principles. Let's say you have 30 verses. And in those 30 verses, they're all about the faithful man, but there may be five or six different aspects of faithfulness. And those aspects you put in outline form. For instance, one of the things you would have found as you were reading all of these verses is that faithfulness is a godly quality. That might be your point one. That's always a good place to start, is in the attributes of God, that faithfulness is a godly quality. You list the references under that. 1 Corinthians 1:9, 1 Corinthians 10:13, 1 John 1:9, faithfulness is a godly quality. See, after you have grouped all the principles, then you form an outline from the principles. Faithful men are hard to find. That is another point. We have some verses under that. Psalm 12:1, Proverbs 20, verse 6, Philippians 2, 19 and 20. You got that off of your sheet that has your cross references. They're all together. And so you put down just that aspect of the subject of faithfulness. A third one would be biblical examples of faithful men. And the author here lists a whole number of just biblical examples of faithful men. He lists Abraham and Moses and Samuel and David and Hananiah and Nehemiah and Uriah and Daniel in the Old Testament, the New Testament, Timothy, Tychicus. You know him? You know where you find him? That's interesting to see that here's a man that usually you don't even think of that name, and yet God lists him as faithful. Epaphras, Onesimus, Paul, and Silas. And then you might want to write some insights about some of these men. All right. Another area in your outline that can be very helpful, you could put characteristics of a faithful man. As you put things in groupings, you could see that there would be certain traits about faithful men that are given in the Word of God. I'll give you some examples of characteristics of a faithful man. He cares for others' interests, not his own. Where do you find that? Proverbs 20, verse 6, Philippians 2, 19 through 22. That's interesting concept. Another characteristic of a faithful man is he has his values right. He's not anxious to get rich. Proverbs 28, 20. Another, he lives a blameless testimony before the world. Daniel 6, 4. Now, as you're getting to this place in your study, what should be happening to you? As you're getting to this place in your study, you're starting to see the great emphasis in the Word of God about a faithful man. And it should start to say to you, you know, that's what I ought to be. That's what God sees highly. That's what I ought to be. Now, what are the characteristics? Well, the characteristics are he cares for others' interests and not his own. Is that true of me? Perhaps I thought I was faithful because I went to every church service. Well, maybe God looks at more than just every church service. He sees some other things. He sees some attitudes within me. And perhaps I ought to have those kind of attitudes, and that should speak to your heart. Another characteristic, he's obedient to God's will, 1 Samuel 2:35. He demonstrates wise stewardship. He passes on to others what he has learned. And so you see all of these traits. It might, some lights might dawn within your head. As you're writing these things down, you might say, I'm falling short in some of these areas, but it shouldn't be terribly hard for me to do a little better now that I know what I am supposed to do. Right? Then he has another part of an outline here, ways to test man's faithfulness. And of course, this came again because of the groupings that were on your work page. Ways to test man's faithfulness. Test him in small responsibilities before giving him large ones. Yeah, think of all the ramifications of that. Do you know that you can walk into most evangelical churches and show some interest in godly things and immediately get a job in a church? That's true. I've had it happen with me, and I've seen it happen. Usually because nobody's much interested in anything going on within a local church, somebody new comes into a church and they seem interested in something, and boom, pastor says, well, you could do this or you could do that. However, the Word of God gives a principle of testing small responsibilities before giving them large ones. Let a person show some faithfulness, and then give them something else. Let them be faithful in that, and then give them something else. Another way to test a man's faithfulness, test him in how he values what isn't his before giving him his own. Observe how he serves faithfully in someone else's ministry before sending him out on his own. You know, a lot of times people are just ready to go. I was speaking with Steve Fretz about these kind of things last week, talking about missionaries and how my belief is that the Apostle Paul, who set the standard for missionary work without controversy, we could say that he worked for many, many years in the local church proving himself. And one of my pet peeves, you might say, is that in our country now, somebody graduates from college, they think they're called to some foreign country, and they go to the mission board. And, the mission board says, all right, then what do? Well, then they go out on deputation, which means they visit the churches like Steve Fretz was doing. They visit the church, they present their program to the church, they try to raise money for support, so the church will give them some money for support, and off they go to the mission field. After 4 years of furlough, they come back, they raise some more support. You know, what have they proven? You know, if they raise their support in a year or 2 years, they've proven that they can raise their support. That's what they're proving. They haven't proven that they can do a work for God. Now, Steve Fretz is different than that, in that he's worked in the local church and he has proved that he can help build a local church wherever he was. And I believe that that is important. You see, and so here, that concept is in Luke 16, verse 12. Observe how he's faithful in someone else's ministry before sending him out on his own. Now, the Word of God gives a principle there. We ought to follow those kind of principles. Let a person prove himself by what he can do in a local work, and when he's done something in a local work serving somebody else, then perhaps he can be counted on to go on for the Lord. And so you see, from your study, you might find all kinds of things that have interesting applications to you and to the work of the local church. And then a sixth category after listing all of these things is the benefits of being a faithful man. He's given leadership roles. That's seen in Nehemiah and in Matthew. He will abound with blessing. The Word of God says, Proverbs 28:20. He'll be rewarded with greater responsibilities in heaven. We'll experience the Lord's joy over His faithfulness. He'll be given a ministry, 1 Timothy 1:12. He is entrusted with spiritual truth, 2 Timothy 2:2, and so forth. All right, then step 6. That's all in step 5. You have your outline, and that will take a good deal of your time and your work, but it will be worthwhile. Step 6 is actually the conclusion of the matter, and as in all of the rest of these studies, the conclusion always gets into what does this mean, and particularly what does it mean to me, and what can I do about it? And what you might do about it is you may write down some behaviors that you'd like to change yourself. You might say, well, maybe I'm not as faithful as I should be in certain areas. I'm going to be more faithful in that. Or I'm going to specifically, you know, I haven't been faithful enough in my prayer life, so I'm going to specifically put aside a time in my prayer life. Or I'm unfaithful going to Sunday school. I'm going to make sure that I go to Sunday school. Or, you know, I haven't been faithfully looking for somebody to talk to about the Lord, so I'm going to do that. Or perhaps you're going to say, well, I'm going to memorize certain scriptures on a faithful man so it will stick into my mind. Any project like that you can write down, you say that you are going to do, helps you to solidify and make memorable your study, because you are putting your study into practice. The author even has one here. I guess I hadn't covered it in some way before, but he says, I will set up a family budget for my wife this weekend. We will start keeping better records on how we spend our money and ask God to guide us in our spending, saving, and giving. Well, there's a certain amount of faithfulness in that, and that's a project that you can do. And in doing those projects, you will be putting the Word of God into action as you study a certain topic. I hope that gives you some understanding. If you think you want to learn more about that, and I haven't been clear enough on it, you please let me know, and perhaps I can make some copies or some sheets to help you understand it a little better. That's our goal. All right, let's pray. Our Father, we come before Thee in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, that the Lord's people might be able to put these things into practice and have the blessing of God upon them, because they are striving to know the Lord Jesus Christ better and to do His will and to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee for the opportunities to be able to do these things, Lord, and we pray that we might take up these opportunities in Jesus' name. Amen.